Jack Baggerly.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Shack Baggerly, all things loose and disorderly, with me, Katie Johnson, and my good friend Howard Middleton from the Great British Bake Off. Episode 83. Let's see what else we can find with the same number. Books written by Agatha Christie, 67 of which were novels and 16 short story collections. Days Harry S. Truman served as Vice President before Roosevelt died. And years in age of the oldest flamingo ever on record. Greta, the flamingo, was put to sleep at Adelaide Zoo, Australia, in January 2014 due to health complications, having arrived there in 1933. Credible. So I hope you're having a good week. My cold is near as dash it gone, and yes, the camera on my laptop was fortunately back working again, ready for H and I to record Shack Baggerly. And you are in for a June moment straight away. As it turns out, Howard's mum thought there may have been another reason why he'd not been able to see me.
She said, is she all right? Perhaps she's got a cold sore and she didn't like you to see it.
I'd have just put a bag on my head, wouldn't I, if that was the case?
Do you have times of the year where you feel more anxious?
Oh, yes. Yeah, when it all feels like it's coming in on you and you've got so much to do and you're not quite sure where you're going to go and where to do it and which order to do things in. I always write a list, Howard, and that makes me feel better.
Does it? Mm. I do mental lists and I don't think that's a good thing.
No.
I think and it's just write it buzzing down. Around. But I also wondered, I feel a little bit sick and anxious today. And I always get like this at this time of year. And I realise what it is. I think it's when I went to university. And I think I'm still, even 40 years later, I'm still anxious about the new term. It's like bizarre.
Oh, bless you.
I'm not going. I don't need to worry about it. But...
Oh, wow. Oh, you haven't got to get new bedding. You haven't got to get all your kitchen implements. You're absolutely fine. As you say, you're not going anywhere. What are you like? Oh, well, we're constantly on the move because we were at on the Suffolk coast last weekend.
Yeah.
And so we're recording this a day early because we've got to head off again. We're off up at Bridgewater in Manchester to do the RHS for 3 days. And then we're heading down to Surrey after that. So it's just all over the show. Anyway, we had a lovely weekend by the Suffolk coast. It was busy. We had two stages. And, well, I didn't stop. I think I should have stopped, but I didn't get to stop. And I was on with Claire on the seafood stage. So it was just purely wall-to-wall fish. It was amazing. You learn so much. Absolutely. It was phenomenal. But something I did learn, and from a lovely, smiley chef, was that beige food is the current trend. Now, I thought, I'm quite good with things like this. I haven't come across that. I was thinking, well, maybe was she just pulling our legs? I don't know. But she said if you look up hashtag beige food, it's on trend. So I didn't know if you knew.
Oh, I was too early. Do you know, my publisher said that a lot of the photographs in my book were looking too beige. And I've had that before from when I've done cookery courses, people saying, have we got a more colourful photo of this because it's looking a bit beige? So, yeah, I was just too early for the trend, obviously.
Yeah, hashtag beige food. It is, it's a thing. I'm just looking at it now.
Is it supposed to be better for you or something?
Well, I don't know. It looks a bit beige. So, well, look, what's there anything that... Oh, there's some jam tarts. So, these photo cards are the epitome of aesthetics and cosiness. Save so you don't lose out. Hashtag beige food. Don't know.
The epitome.
It's where you and I are our happiest, aren't we? Epitome.
Oh, dear. Oh, bless.
Yeah, there's a lot of pizzas under beige food.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, I think...
Well, anything that you put in batter or anything like that is going to be a bit beige, isn't it? Mm. I think.
Yeah.
Chips.
So there was two things I came away from this. The beige food thing and something I saw, which I've never seen and I don't think I'll see again. There was, I'm kidding you not, there was a woman, probably in her mid-40s, with a husband, and she had a rucksack on her back. So you think, okay. So she passed me. I was at the back of the stage at that time. I don't know what I was doing. She passed me, so I could see she had a rucksack on, and then the shape of the rucksack made me look. And it was a normal size rucksack, but there was a big globe at the back, so it jutted out a bit, and it was hard. It wasn't a soft thing. And it was see-through, and there was a cat in the back.
No!
So she took a cat.
A cat?
To the food festival.
Like, well, I mean, it's not unusual. Well, I suppose it is unusual to see a cat. Was it all right near the seafood? It's a bit like...
But it was in a globe. It was like it was in its own fishbowl, which maybe it was a kind of payback. That might have been it, mightn't it? Mind you, having said that, the fish we were doing were dead, weren't they? So I don't know if that was quite...
Yes, it was a cat
in her rucksack, quite happy, enjoying herself. Can you hear the helicopter?
In a rucksack?
No, as it's passing, it was one of those large ones. I didn't know if you could hear it. Oh, no. I could hear it. So a cat in a rucksack.
Well, it's because it's passing over you. It's not come to me yet. Oh, there it is. Quite quick.
So did you have a good weekend?
It was a nice weekend, actually. Did your weekend not get off to a good start? They double booked, haven't they? You hadn't got...
Howard. So we had to drive 5 hours, and we left on Wednesday. So we left on Wednesday, and we were going to leave about 11 o'clock in the morning. It ended up going to lunchtime, but just before we left, there was a phone call. And it was from the lady who we'd booked the cottage from. And it was via a well-known site. We are going to complain, by the way. And so she spoke and she said, I don't know how it's happened, but basically I've double booked, so you've no room, I'm afraid. And that was it. So there we were, needing accommodation for Glyn and I, certainly that night and the night after, and then for two of the team to come down on the Friday and Saturday. And we were having to drive 5 hours with no accommodation at the other end.
No. Mm. Oh, no.
She'd got offer of money, hadn't she? So.
Do you think?
Oh, yeah. The well-known site that we use, they don't make mistakes. And we'd had all the confirmation. We'd even had a couple of days before, looking forward to seeing you. We will send the codes, all that. A couple of days.
Yeah.
And on the day we were leaving, and she rang and said, oh, no. She double booked. She hadn't. She'd got an offer of more money, and but that we're going to complain.
She should be struck from the.
She should.
Yes,
she should.
I think so.
Dreadful.
But do you? How do you deal with stuff like that? Do you did you get angry about it?
I didn't have time to be angry. Not initially.
No.
Because she told us, and I. She knows I wasn't happy. And so I said, well, I've got to go because I've got to find somewhere else to find. So as Glyn was driving, I was looking for accommodation. But we'll report her because that's not on, is it? It's not on.
No, my mum says that I need to be a bit gutsy like Peter and my sister. Because I'd probably have said, oh, not to worry. You know, really kind of timid and
No.
Rather than saying this is not on, I can't get angry about stuff like that.
No, and it's not a thing of getting angry, Howard. It's just playing by the rules, because she didn't play by the rules. And I don't get angry. I'm not an angry person, but I think I'm probably a bit forceful if I need to be. I don't like doing it. I don't do confrontation.
I would have never thought that, Katie.
Which bit, Howard?
Forceful. Oh, I've said.
Oh, you've suddenly become brave, have you now, Howard?
Oh, you're challenging. No, but I know you have your limits, and sometimes people overstep those limits, don't they?
What are we referring to?
People, when you say. Well, they're dead to me
Oh,
and
yeah.
things like
Yeah.
that.
No, it's the case of, it's this thing was I was brought up and you treat others as you'd be
Yeah.
treated yourself. And
Yeah.
if somebody doesn't play by that term, then they're blacklisted and they're dead to us. We now have the famous gong. Dead to me.
Do you have a
Oh
gong? Dear.
yeah. Not a
Oh.
physical one. My mum had one of those at the bottom of the stairs. Not one, like in the cinema with that huge, great big one, and they had to have
Oh,
two.
yeah.
Not as big as that. We didn't have one as big as that. But mum had a little gong at the bottom of the stairs.
Did she?
Just
And
thinking
what
about
was
it.
that? When she was that for dinner or when you'd been badly behaved and she sort of said, enough is enough. The gong has been struck.
No, I think
No.
it was probably something she picked up in a little shop and she liked it. But I could occasionally
Oh
hear the
yeah.
gong. But no, can you imagine one the size of the one? What pictures was that? Which cinema? And they used to have the
Well, I
film
don't know.
thing.
He didn't he have like a little bit of a sort of
He
loincloth thing
did.
on?
He
I think I was
did.
slightly distracted. What?
It was almost the forerunner to Tarzan, but
Yeah,
instead of
yeah.
vines, he was got a gong. Hang on, what am I going to
A
put?
gong.
Big symbol, film production.
If not put big gong film, because
No,
that.
big symbols. Ah, here you go. Oh, he's called the Gong Man. It's a company trademark for the J. Arthur Rank Organisation. That's it. But he's called the
Rank,
Gong Man.
yeah. But why? Why would a man in a sort of loincloth be hitting a gong? When you think about it, it's not an everyday occurrence, is it?
1930.
Well, not round here anyway.
Yes, but again, we go back to the fact you're on the top floor of a block of flats, darling. If you had somebody in a loincloth with a gong, you've made it to heaven. They're calling you.
Oh dear. Oh.
First established in 1935. Oh, it was the British producer C.M. Wolfe and J. Arthur Rank, and it was Wolfe's secretary who thought of the man with a gong trademark. Oh, we know where she was thinking then, don't you?
Yes.
She's sitting there by the phone. They've only just established that the phone's quiet, and she's just drifting off, isn't she? And she's thinking of a man in a loincloth with a rather large gong. Let's have a look. The gongs used in the sequence were props made of plaster or papier-mâché. Papier-mâché. What is it? Papier-mâché.
Papier-mâché, yeah.
Oh, the sound came from James Blades striking a real gong. Specifically, a Chinese instrument called a tam-tam that was much smaller than the prop. So the first gong man was Carl Dane, a circus strongman. He was paid, oh, can you believe it, a one-off fee, Howard.
Yeah.
So he would never get any royalties, would he? He would just always, his gong wouldn't be, he wouldn't get anything from his gong banging.
No, he wouldn't get no.
Athletes who played the gong man in the film sequence over the years included the boxer Bombardier Billy Wells, who was a second gong man. In later years, the position was filled by wrestler Ken Richmond. Also, George Francis Moss Sr. played the gong man. In 2012, to celebrate the gong man's 50th anniversary, the Rank Group announced a nationwide competition to find a new gong man for the 21st century. And it was a chap from Stoke-on-Trent who won the competition, and the new official
Oh.
Rank gong man, Chris Rowley. Yeah?
Wow.
We haven't talked about anything about food, have we? Just about gongs.
I'm quite happy with a conversation about a gong man, to be honest.
Oh, gong
But
man. So what have
you
you?
sent me that.
Oh, yes,
You
have you
sent
done
me that
it?
link. Oh my goodness.
Oh, is it
Have you
going
read it?
to? Not all of it. Have you?
Oh, I haven't read all of it, but I
No.
just read the introduction. My goodness, there's a film in that, isn't there? It's just unbelievable.
Oh.
Do you know, I literally, I mean, Peter will watch Long Lost Family and, Queen's Funeral and things like that. And he's there, sniffing away with tears running down his face. And I will get a little bit. I know that if I get a lump in my throat, then he's going to be in absolute floods of tears. But this, I could feel it going reading it. I thought, oh, this is just unbelievable. Nobody knows what we're talking about yet, do they?
This was a message from Sandra, who kindly sent us a link to the Melinda Russell and her book. We said last week, didn't we? You would chat about it today.
Yes, yeah, because I think we'd originally come across the name Melinda Russell. It was when we were looking at the things that Jan Longoni had done in was it the University of Michigan, wasn't it?
That was
She'd
it.
put together this library of culinary, yes, and she'd managed to get a copy of the book by Melinda Russell. And oh, it's almost worth reading the whole thing. But born in Washington County in the eastern part of Tennessee, mother called Melinda Russell as well. Her mother was one of the first families set free by Mr. Noddy of Virginia. This was during the slavery period. But my mother, being born after the emancipation of my grandmother, her children are by law free. And she tried to go to Liberia and was robbed before leaving the US. She stopped in Virginia and decided to start cooking to raise some money. And the idea was that she would write this cookbook in order to get enough money to be able to go to Liberia, but she never managed to do that. But oh, it's just unbelievable, the story. And we don't know when she died. It looks as if Jan Longoni was one of the few people to be able to get a copy of this cookbook. And it's there in the University of Michigan. I don't think it's ever been published since, but Jan Longoni did produce some excerpts from it. But I was just reading some of the recipes in it.
She learned her trade off Fanny Stewart, a cook
Yes.
of Virginia, and since learned many new things in the art of cooking. And so she says, I cook after the plan of the Virginia housewife. And they self-published this book, which in, was it,
Yes, I
1866?
know.
You didn't, it
This
didn't
is
happen.
unbelievable. No,
Amazing
to be
woman.
a, I mean the oh, unbelievable. There are so many recipes, and they are, a lot of them are kind of baked goods, cakes and things like that. Wonderful sounding stuff. Flannel cake and mush cake, which I love them. But it's like the recipe for flannel cake: 1 quart of sweet milk, stir to a thick batter with flour, 2 tablespoons of yeast, let it rise overnight. In the morning, break in 3 eggs, stir in 2 tablespoons of lard. I just don't know what I'm doing with it after that. But obviously, she assumes that if you are an experienced baker, you should know what you're doing, roughly what temperature, what to put it in, how long it's going in for, when it'll be ready. So yeah, we'll just leave it at that. But great book, wonderful.
She's even got a Shrewsbury cake in there, which, where you think this
Has
is,
she? Yeah.
and it's just flour, butter, sugar, and the whites of 16 eggs, and spice to your taste. She doesn't do a lot of comments, does she? You'll get the odd remark.
No.
And she says, as a great many ladies have wished to know how I have such good success in making my cake so light, I will say I first heat the oven hot enough for cooking, set it in my cake, and open the door. And for a common size cake, leave the door open for about 15 minutes, and for a large one, about 20 minutes. And when the cake begins to rise, I close the door.
Wow. You see, this is it. When you didn't have kind of thermostats and things like that, I suppose people had to come up with their own ways of kind of regulating temperature or knowing at what point it needs the kind of oven spring, the oomph, and at what point it's solid enough to be able to stand on its own. Well, cake don't have feet, do they? Not unless they're a macaron, but yeah.
I tell you what,
But
there's
yeah,
so much in
wonderful.
this book. I think we'll be coming back to this, don't you?
Oh, I think so. I thought it was lovely. And as I said, I was reading that introduction, and I just thought, this is a movie. I want to watch
Do you
this.
think maybe that we looked, has anybody made a movie about it?
No, because I think even Jan Longoni admitted a little bit of defeat in that she'd been able to obviously source the book, find out some of her kind of backstory, mainly from the information that she'd included in that little introduction. I suppose a lot of Black history was not recorded at the time, so you don't know how long somebody lived and when they died and where they're buried and all sorts of things like that. So it's really hard to track. I think that's what the problem is, that there's a bit of a mystery about her, really.
So a huge thank you to Sandra for pointing us in the right direction of Melinda
Oh,
Russell.
absolutely. Yeah.
Amazing,
Yeah.
amazing. Couple of hellos. Hi to Lorraine Robinson. Friday's podcast, Laughter is the Best Medicine, and you two treat us weekly with a dose of laughter. That's nice.
Oh.
Jerry, it's such fun to hear you two in action, both so endearing and funny. Loreen loves the picture we took from Ludlow Food Festival. You look like you're having so much fun. And Amy says the picture says it all, which is super. Do you remember we were chatting about Anne Marie and her bus trip from the beach
Oh
for 3 hours,
yes,
and her there was somebody sitting
Oh
next door with
yes.
her old uncle's ashes. Kathy's been in touch via Facebook. She says, regards an iffy bus trip. My friend and I took a San Francisco tour, which included a very big bus on a very tiny winding road. The driver merrily told jokes as we whizzed round hairpin turns. Oh my lord! As we slid about on our seats, my friend looked at me wild-eyed and said, "I don't want to die listening to dad jokes flying off a cliff." it would certainly be a dramatic way to go. Oh, did I ever tell you about the plane trip we did, the flight, and it was the worst flight in history for turbulence? Did I ever tell you that story? Oh, we're doing
I
it
don't think
again.
so. No,
Well, stop me
no.
if I have. I won't go long on it, but
Well, I
I.
won't. I don't remember, do I? So
Oh,
it's like you could.
well, it's this. I am not a good flyer. Do you think you know that? I think because I was prescribed. This is how bad I am. I'm prescribed Valium to fly. Luckily, I'm not the
Really?
pilot. It's not me flying it. But yeah, I have to have a Valium. So that kind of sets the scene. Well, pre-Valium days, I used to go on flights and I was dreadful. I used to just, all my muscles would tense up and they would go into spasm and stay there for at least 24 hours. So it was just the most uncomfortable, unpleasant experience. And I've never been very good. Anyway, it was my sister and I, and we were flying somewhere like Menorca, so Spain. It wasn't too far, thank goodness. Anyway, we couldn't sit together either on this plane, which is even the worst thing because I like to grab hold of somebody I know. especially on takeoff and
Did you not
landing.
just tell whoever you were sitting next to? I have to warn you, I may need to grab hold of you.
Yeah, it would be good if I was single and you were looking and you thought, oh yes, but no. So both my sister was across the aisle and back a bit, if I recall, and I was then on the right-hand side of the plane. So we're looking forwards. You can't go backwards on a plane, can you? You know what I mean. So
No.
anyway, this turbulence was hideous, absolutely hideous, and I am not the best flyer, and I'm really trying hard. Well, I was next to a pregnant woman, and oh, it's awful. I mean, we can smile about it now, but she started screaming. Now, having somebody scream next to you, Howard, when you're not very good flying is not good. And this woman started
No.
screaming and then started to get really agitated, shouting, "I don't want to die. I don't want to die." I know. Yes,
Oh,
yes. And somewhere, Katie, with a before Valium, all tense, tried her best to calm this woman down. And all I could think about, do you remember that wonderful movie Airplane, where they're all
Oh,
queuing
yeah.
in the aisle to
Queuing
give
for
her a slap?
slap.
It didn't get quite to that stage. But I remember going, "I don't want to die, I don't want to die." Yeah. Things you remember. Anyway, that gonna stab me
Oh,
Valium
gosh.
now.
You didn't offer her a
Well, no, because that was pre-Valium days. Plus, that, of course, Howard, she was a pregnant lady. I would not have offered a
Valium.
No.
Oh, no, that's oh, no.
Yes.
Oh,
Anyway.
God.
So, yeah, so thank you for that, Kathy. Hi to Barry. Now, Barry's been in touch. Loved your latest episode, and I have an answer to the riddle of stone soup. Remember we chatted about stone soup?
Yeah.
It's a European folk tale I remember reading in a picture book long ago. It's also the name of an American literary magazine for children, which I used to read when I was small. Carla Emery might have been referencing one or both as the magazine first launched in 1973. And Barry sent us a couple of links regards the European folk story and also the book about stone soup.
I think I remember this story, this children's story about stone soup now thinking about it, yeah. But haven't we got literary and educated people are listening to the podcast? It's surprising, isn't it? We've got up in the world, haven't
nothing
we?
Like you and me.
No!
Maggie also sent a link as well, a lovely old story and an old tale. It is, if you want to look it up, do. It's slightly long for Howard and I to go into, but the European folk story is about hungry strangers convincing the people of a town to share a small amount of their food, which is a nice moral. And then the old tale is a 1947 picture book written and illustrated by Marcia Brown. And it's all about a stone soup folk tale, but both lovely. And must say to Barry, bless her, she says, your podcast always cheers me up, but especially today as I'm recovering from minor surgery. Hurts a bit to laugh, she says, but it's well worth it. Oh, Barry, well, we wish you well. And continued recovery.
We should kind of have a bit of a scale, shouldn't we? Warning at the beginning of the episode how likely you are to laugh during this podcast as opposed to any others. Yeah, just in case you've had a bit of surgery.
So wishing you well. And Kim, who's been going through the mill, she says, I'm so behind on the episodes. She says, I seriously need to tune into the podcast and catch up on all the weeks I have missed. Kim, another one, we wish you well. And do catch up, otherwise you won't know what we're talking about after time.
No, this is it, because we're very current, aren't we? So...
yeah. What year's your book today? 1866.
It's so topical.
I don't know. What's mine? I've found something today. Oh, mine's 1906. So that's not too bad. Not too bad.
No,
I've come
no.
up with a bachelor's cupboard containing...
Bachelor's cupboard?
Yeah.
Ooh,
you see why I was drawn to it? I just love anything like that.
In the way that I'm drawn to men in loincloth striking gongs, yes. Can I just spend some time in your bachelor's cupboard, please?
Containing crumbs culled from the cupboards of the great unwedded. A collection by A. Lyman Phillips, drawings by Will Jenkins, Boston and London, John W. Luce and Company, 1906. And interesting, it's got all these different categories, because we do like an index.
Oh, yes.
So on being a bachelor, stocking the cupboard, snacks of seafood, bear in mind we were chatting about seafood, correct clothes, and how a man may valet himself. Well, there we are. So I wanted to mention, because we were talking about seafood, and this country of ours, we're an island, yet we export majority of our fish, apart from the famous four, salmon, cod, tuna, haddock. And there is another one, totally beyond me. But one of the ones we were chatting about was herring.
Oh, I love a herring.
Well, we need to bring herring back. Who was it, Justin Timberlake, that sang We've Got to Bring Sexy Back? So we've got to...
I thought for me, I don't remember a song about herrings.
But then, isn't there a song about herrings? Do you know, you've said that I think there is a song about herrings. Howard, can you quickly look up a song about herring, darling, please? But herrings, we're going to bring herring back, you and me, mister.
We're bringing herring back, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait a bit. Song of the herring. Not song of the herrings, is it?
So while you're doing that, finding out a herring song, It's a speciality of the Manhattan Club of New York. It's a savoury herring omelette. It says skin and bone, one fat smoked bloater herring, cut in thin pieces. Place in a saucepan with a tablespoon of butter, paprika, chives and parsley. Stew slowly and add a quarter cup thick cream and four egg yolks. Take off the stove. Beat the four egg whites stiff. Mix all together. Shuffle and fold as an omelette in a buttered pan. Place in a hot oven 3 minutes and serve. That sounds fabulous.
It does. I love the fact you've got a little bit of exercise in there. You're shuffling and folding at the same time as well. Herring Song by Eliza Carthy, is that it?
I don't know.
1998.
Oh, that sounds too recent. I thought there was some...
Oh, wait a minute. The earliest version of this song, often known as the Red Herring or Jolly Herring, is in a manuscript from 1831. So that is an old herring. It's a Norfolk old song called, The Jolly Herring.
The Herring Song, popular as a drinking song in many coastal areas of Britain.
The herring is the king of the sea, the herring is the fish for me, the herring is the king of the sea, sing father all day long day. Oh, what'll I do with me herring's head? I'll make it into a loaf of bread, I'll make it into a loaf of bread and all sorts of things. The herring is the king of the sea, the herring is...
Isn't that lovely? Yes, there is a herring song.
It is
song.
It is a nice little tune, that, yeah.
So we've got to bring the herring back, yeah.
Yes.
And one more from this book, because this is all from this bachelor's book.
So is it?
Yeah, you see, I think with these sticks with that herring omelette, I think he's pulled already, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
I'd have one.
And then it says variations with vegetables, staying with the bachelor's cupboard. Now, you know, we have this thing about Brussels sprouts in this country. We do love our Brussels sprouts. They are very windy.
Yeah.
But there we are. He says, suppose you are entertaining an Englishman and want to give him something homey. Now, obviously the bachelor is cooking for another man. So was that not the etiquette of the time then, to cook for another woman in your home? It probably wasn't done.
I don't know. It might be a gay bachelor, but we don't know. I don't know anything about his personal life. I'm round there for a herring omelette. So if he's not of that persuasion, then he's barking up the wrong tree.
But
isn't
he's going to be offering you some Brussels sprouts, because suppose you are entertaining an Englishman and want to give him something homey. It's you.
Yeah.
If you are perchance devilling slices of rare roast beef in one chafer, then give him some Brussels sprouts in the other, and he will. And he will beam upon you in truth. For Brussels sprouts are to Johnny Bull, so I guess that's the nickname that they would have given us all those years ago, what rice is to a Chinaman. Now, I know I'm reading this. It's not obviously what you would say today.
But yes.
But the context of 1906. Wash a quart of sprouts and take off any decayed leaves, then boil until tender in salted water. Listen to this, Howard. 1906, thank goodness for something. They cook very quickly.
Yes, but
no.
Depends what.
What happened? What was last week's? Put in your Brussels sprouts for half an hour and then cook them.
Oh, no.
Yeah?
No.
Take out and drain, then melt some good butter in the blazer and sauté the sprouts lightly in the pan. I'm suspecting it's the name of a pan and not in your jacket that you've got on, because you don't want to be melting good butter in your jacket, do you? Dust slightly with salt and pepper, and no matter how hot your devil, don't neglect to have English mustard handy for your Briton.
It's very flirty, isn't it? Oh, you're a hot devil, aren't you? Have some of my Brussels sprouts and a blob of mustard.
Yeah. But then maybe in 1906 that was code for
maybe
bachelor's book. It was
I need this book. Show me have you got the cover
on? Hang on, I'll get it back. Here it is. That's the cover of it.
A bachelor's cupboard. Right. I shall be looking for that. Not that I need.
No.
Don't want Peter to get worried, no.
Oh, now. You texted me on the way to us going down to Suffolk And you said, didn't you, about the bottle of wine in the cupboard behind you. We have news.
We have news. The bottle of wine is no more. So, yes, it was Peter's birthday. And he said, about 9 o'clock or so, we should have had a bottle of wine for my birthday, shouldn't we? And I said, actually, I have one.
But did you use the line that you'd had it there because of his birthday? You did go with it, didn't you? You didn't say you were just hiding it for in case of emergency.
No, I was incredibly truthful. I told him that I'd put it there for those occasions when we might be climbing the wall. He was happy with that, and that was fine. Except after we drank it, he said, should have had another one.
Oh, lovely. Now, a couple of hellos as well. We hi to Kirsty, who's listening to us in Australia.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
Hi to you, Kirsty. Lovely to hear from you. Thank you very much. Also to Gwyneth. Oh, gosh, hang on. I've got to show you something. Stay there. Wait me a minute. Talk amongst yourselves.
There's only me here. Me and the... not struck up with my Brussels sprouts, man, yeah.
Do you haven't noticed I haven't brushed my hair today?
Right, well, I was thinking how nice it looked, actually. It shows up the blue of your top.
Thank you.
Really enhances it, doesn't it?
I forgot to brush it. It's just been one of those couple of days. So we've heard from Gwyneth. You ready?
Yeah.
There's a little sign and it says, bra off, hair down, wine poured.
Oh, how's that? I could do the last one anyway.
And a couple of other things. We have made the charts in France.
What?
So, hello. So not only did we not think we would ever have any listeners in France, and then we did have listeners in France, and thank you so much for listening. Bonjour. Je m'appelle Katie.
Je vais très bien, merci. Oh. Et vous? I thought that's I'm very well, but that's after someone's asked if you're okay. And,
sur la table.
L'addition, s'il vous plaît.
Petit peu. Un peu. So thank you. But we've also made the charts in France.
When you say we've made the charts, this is not our Christmas single.
No, we are recognised now in charts in America.
Wow.
Canada, Australia, UK, Ireland. Did I say New Zealand and Australia? And now France. So,
wow.
Yeah. And we have another new country listening, and it's Qatar.
Oh. I don't know what to say to that.
Well, hasn't David Beckham just gone over there recently, ahead of the World Cup?
Oh, I don't think you can pin your listeners down to celebrities that easily.
No,
can you?
I just...
Hi, David. Fancy a Brussels sprout?
You hot devil.
So, you know, Audley End, we sometimes revisit Mrs. Crocombe, who does a little Victorian kitchen thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's got a few new ones out. But I just thought this one that she's done this time sounds like it's been written by Victoria Wood. You know, she's packing up one of the I think the master of the house or somebody quite high up in the house with a little picnic to take on their travels. Hmm. And she says she's going to put some sandwiches in there and sausage rolls. But her sausage rolls are nothing like modern sausage rolls. Basically, they're sausage meat encased in a bread roll. So she cooks. So she gets the dough and puts the sausage meat inside and seals up the bread around it and then bakes them. And I'm thinking... Do you know, that sounds quite nice, actually.
Yeah.
Sausage meat in the middle of her roll. She doesn't do the bread herself. She's got a new assistant who's off camera. She says, I've got bread dough that was made by Fanny. Her father was a baker and she likes to keep her hand in. And I thought, this just sounds like
a sketch.
Victoria Wood sketch,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, so she's bringing Fanny back.
Yeah, bringing Fanny back. Yeah.
Must say hello to Kelly Webber, which is again a Victoria, wouldn't she? Because she liked a Kelly, didn't she?
Yeah, Kelly.
Kelly.
Kimberly, wasn't it?
Oh, it's Kimberly. Kimberly.
My friend.
Have you seen her? Have you seen her? Yeah. So hi to Kelly Webber. And bless her, she's recommended Shatbaggery podcast. She says, love the stories and personal experiences. Oh, there's going to be a lot of those, aren't there? Especially of late. And she's put, it's humorous, fun, and perks up any day.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Do you feel perked up?
Do you know, I do feel I'm less nervous about going to university than I was when we first started. No, I do feel more perky after a little chat with you. I always do. I always feel better.
Oh, bless you. Oh, bless you.
My mum's been a bit under the weather, but hopefully she's a bit perkier. We did the food shopping yesterday. You may recall we talked about tea bags previously, and she's at it again. Mum said, I want some of those tea bags that you have at night. You know, the snooze and booze ones.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, no, they're not called snooze and booze, Mum. They're called snore and peace.
Ah, yes, remembering June's nighttime tea bags. Now forever, snooze and booze. Regards as Brits not eating enough of our own fish, other than the big five, of which one I totally missed off, which was prawns, alongside the cod, the haddock, the tuna and salmon. But us Brits, we need to eat so many more species. For instance then, if you have a fab recipe for herring, please do let us know. As always, we have our Facebook and Instagram pages open and email podcast@theshatbaggerly.co.uk. And thank you, Kelly, for your lovely review. So that's it for another week. Thank you for listening and see you next time. Oh, hang on. It's Howard trying to send me a message. When we do our stage show, can you start the evening with a gong? Yes, but please, Howard, not in a loincloth, lovely. Oh, it's me being forceful again.